Welcome to Wolf Den's Saturday Set. Last week, we did a lot of talking. This week, the racing around Australia is so good that we're going to let the races do the talking. We've got the Auroria Stakes in Morpheville, the Irwin Stakes in Morpheville, the WATC Derby in Perth. We've got the Bendigo Guineas and the Golden Mile out Bendigo. And of course, day two of the championships in Sydney. What a day. What a time to be alive, Kingzone. You had a day out last week, both physically and financially. How was that?
Yeah, well, as a punter, we put ourselves through a lot of mental torture. And there's nothing more satisfying as a punter as to have a complete fill-up when you need to have it. And last Saturday, I did have a fill-up. Mm. And what was even more satisfying was that we're out at the Hudson Hotel and saw everybody else out there have a winning day as well. So that was actually even more satisfying than myself having the fill-up. So it was a really great day.
And you made the decision you're no longer going to bet in the den on Saturdays. You're going to bet from Ladbrokes lounges on the beers every
Saturday. Yeah, oh, geez, I'd love to do that. It was a very enjoyable day. So let's – where are we off to tomorrow then?
Well, we'll have to go and have a look.
We'll do a tour. Australian tour of all the Ladbrokes lounges. What sounds right to me. Can we get a minibus or a bus? And
or a big
who's going to drive? Fizzy, you're going to drive the bus?
I don't know. I was pretty tanked last week at the Hudson Hotel.
You were best on ground for many people. Yeah, hey, editor boys, was Fizzy best on ground?
Yeah, it was good. It was good fun. I didn't have to do any punting for anyone, so I just sat there drinking, so it was good.
Unreal. All right, let's get into it. We're going to start in Sydney because it is an incredible meeting.
It is.
Let's start with the Australian Oaks. We're going to talk feature races. The Australian Oaks, 2,400 metres, Group 1, three-year-old fillies, and, of course, Orchestral, one of the nicer fillies we've seen come across from New Zealand.
Yeah, well, they raced each other last time, didn't they? Orchestral's Dozy, Tutta La Vida, which was a great ride by Nash where he took off and nearly stole the race, but... Orchestral's obviously deserved favourite here, but $1.60 seems very, very short. I don't like the race. There's just no angles in this race. It's all very open, exposed form. Orchestral's the horse to beat, but it's just too short. So there's no tricks here. What do you say, Fizz?
Same, mate. It's the same stuff we see every week. It's been 180 to 160. Bookies probably won't budget past 170 on the weekend. Looks the winner, but short enough for me. I'd probably take on Zardozi if I was a bookie more than anything else. I thought that out of those horses, Zardozi was one I'd lay around the 480 mark.
All right, well, that race was very easy. Let's go to an even easier race, the Sydney Cup, race 7 over 3,200 metres.
The time on it, Sydney Cup. Right? Every year, Sydney Cup every year. Any cup, Melbourne Cup, Wangaratta Cup, they're all beautiful, beautiful races. But so let's have a look at AI here where they found a bit of value. I'm steering away from the couple of favourites. So we've got two bets for me in this race, a Maid, which has got a bullet rating of 68, mm-hmm. and Athabascan, which has got a bullet rating of 74. There's really good early pace in this race with two leaders, Serpentine and also Major Bill going forward, both natural leaders. That will suit the two horses I talked about before, Maid and Athabascan. Mm-hmm. A Maid was a huge run last time in the Adelaide Cup, where Zach Spain lost the irons and with about 2,400 metres to go and still loomed up and looked the winner at about the 400 and managed to run, I think, ended up running four. So that was a huge run. And Maid would have won that Adelaide Cup had it been all fair and square. But looks great value. I'm keen. Mm-hmm. Athabascan, John O'Shea. Asked the horse change of tactics last time, settled further back in the field. I think he was setting this up for Sydney Cup. Mm-hmm. First go at 3,200. He's a very, very astute trainer. Mm. And I think Athabascan's going to run a really big race. So those are my two, both at $9 and about $12.
Tasty, Fizzer?
I found the same horse, found Athabascan. There you go, Kings. It's going to be it's third up into this, I think. And, yeah, it looked like it hit the line nicely last start. It's not a betting race for me saying that. It looks near on impossible. We've thrown half the field in the quaddy legs for the people later on. I also had Manzoitz in my numbers. Waller, not sure if it goes 3,200, but I'll trust Waller and see what happens. But, yeah, no betting proposition, but Athabascan top pick.
Thank you. Let's now look at one of the races of the autumn. The Queen Elizabeth Stakes is always such a great race, and this year doesn't disappoint. 2,000 metres, weight for age, Group 1, let's go.
What's it worth? How much?
$5 million? That's a question without notice.
Yeah, no, you're the prize money, man.
Definitely not worth more than five.
Okay, so what a great race it is. You're right about that. And we have got a golden bullet.
Oh!
We have got an official Saturday set tip on 127 bullet rating points.
Wow, look at
that. Via Sestina. So I'm going to go first to Pride of Jenny, who's on 47. I'm against Pride of Jenny. consider laying. I would lay Pride of Jenny, 2,000 metres at Randwick. I just don't think 2,000 metres is her go at all. Cascadian, I've got a consider laying as well on with a bullet rating of 32. Cascadian's had 53 starts and only won back-to-back once. I just don't think the consistency will be there because Via Sestina is in the race. Cascadian, I don't think at the price, is nearly as good a lay as what Pride of Jenny is. Via Sestina, super impressive. Exceptional sectionals last time, coming off a slow tempo. And J-Mac, Seawaller, $5 million plus dollar race.
Bang, you're
enough
all in.
Enough said.
Fizz.
One out, Via Sestina for me. I'm trusting what I saw first run in Australia. Think it'll back it up and win this race.
Okay.
I will say I don't think too. I was hoping for better than the 220 currently on offer. I'm not rushing to jump into that. We have got Mr. Brightside in there as well. I think Pride of Jenny, if it happened to be leaderish, there's going to be a lot of support for as well. So I'm not 220. Didn't smash the clock. Sectionally, it did have the last 200, but they went very slow early. So I don't think. Start odds on?
I put value, not really.
No, I'm going to wait.
I looked at the price.
I'm going to wait.
Look, it was heavily smashed late in the betting last time, but they sat there at 360, which looked like, if you look at it now, it's 360 last start and it's going around in a harder race at much shorter odds. I think it'll win, but I didn't think the value was there with the price at the moment.
Amazing you're getting such a big price about Mr. Brightside. I completely understand why it's that big a price, but you know, a month, 6 weeks ago, you would never have thought you'd get double figure odds about Mr. Brightside in a Queen Elizabeth.
No, well, I've got Mr. Brightside being sort of pretty close to being a bet.
Yep.
At the moment, and that's just obviously off older form where he's gone through the roof. I'm surprised he's running.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised as well, yeah. Just thought it was a nice time for him to gather paddock. He's had a very good autumn campaign anyway.
They know more than us.
They know more than us, and I think he was roughly the same price in the Cox Plate and went that close to winning. So, interesting. All right, we're going to move to Western Australia. So next week, one of the biggest days of the year is the Quokka. They've also got the Karrakatta Plate on next week, but before that, we've got to get through the WATC Derby. It's a Group 2 race, over 2,400 metres. We thought we'd throw it into the feature races.
Yes.
What did you make of it?
Yes. Zip Away's favourite. I'm against Zip Away. 290 at the moment. For a horse that hasn't really settled the last two starts and is going to 2,400 for the first time, I think is quite short. I'm with two horses coming out of the same race. Number two, a lot of good men, which was beaten by number five, Bucket's Ridge, which Pikey's on, rode it beautifully last time. They both will run out a strong 2,400. We know that. They're both good odds. A lot of good men's about 9.50. Bucket's is about 5.50. I'd rather much be on them than Zip Away at 2.90. I'm pretty keen on this race. I'm pretty keen on the day, actually.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of tasty prices in the horses that you like.
Fitzy's the Ascot, man. What do you say?
Yeah, no, Ascot, it is a hard one. Zipaway has come up top pick on my ratings because it's come back from Melbourne, stronger races and what probably it's racing in its home state. So Zipaway was top pick. Did I think $3 was a betting proposition? No. I was happy to stay out of that. I actually found Own the Queen, second pick, which is the filly, who's been winning, I think she's gone for seven straight or something. Mm. Mate, what she did last start in a race where she had no right to win was quite amazing. She is up against the boys and it'll be a bit of a testing race for her. But look, the two that King's mentioned and a horse called In Good Order were all out of the same race. In Good Order got a bit held up in that race you're talking about.
Yep.
And I thought it was another chance. They were the sort of top five picks for me, the ones King's mentioned and those three that I mentioned.
Unreal. Let's have a bit of a talk about the outstanding race cards at both Bendigo and Morfordville. We're going to start in Morfordville. We're a couple of weeks away from the Adelaide Racing Carnival, which should be really good. And we're warming up this weekend for that. The first race we're going to talk about is the Auroria Stakes. It's an 1,800-metre race for three-year-old fillies. Bit of a lead-up to the Oaks in a couple of weeks' time.
Mm.
What did you make of that race?
Molly Nickers and Vivier. They both raced each other last time. I think this is the form race to look at. They both, Vivier ran third. I think Molly ran fifth. But there's no pace in that race, and they were completely unsuited at the Valley. I think one of them will win. I think Vivier is much better value than what Molly Nickers is, and I would rather be on Vivier going to 1,800 for the first time. I remember he was a black Vivi was a black booker a couple of starts ago. Ran third. Molly was disappointing, as I say. I think 440 at the moment represents pretty good value. And I'm keen to bet.
Fizz.
It's like he's got my form over there as well. But Molly Nickers and Viviere come out well clear, even off that pretty poor race they both in Moonee Valley that you talked about. Mm. Viviere went straight past Molly Nickers in that race. Sorry, I think they were around. Yeah, it did actually. It was came from behind it. Molly Nickers did nothing to sort of signal to me like it's ready to win, whereas Viviere still hit the line off the slow speed. So out of the two prices, I'd have to go with Viviere. Mm. I'm with Kings.
Sweet. All right, we're going to keep rolling. So the Goodwood is the culmination of the Adelaide Racing Carnival. It's not on for about 4 weeks, I think. But a lot of horses start their journey towards it on Saturday in race eight. The RN Irwin Stakes, 1,100-metre race, weight for age, group three, some good horses in this race.
Yeah, Benedetta's favourite, which I thought was a little bit too short. $3 in such a big field where Benedetta's going to get back. Great chance, just a bit short. My two bets in the race are number one, Kalos, which is about $6.50 at the moment. Class horse, be charging down the middle of the track. And number 13, Climbing Star, which is a horse on the rise. Really, really impressive last start win and will need to rise again. But I think Climbing Star, $5.50 at the moment, I thought was a bit short. I think you will get better than $5.50, but those were my two bets. What do you say, Fizz?
Yeah, so I've got Benedetta top pick, but like you, $3.20 in a race where I think it's going to settle near last. It needs a good track, which it looks like it'll get. Hard to know what the track's going to do in Adelaide at the moment. They go from super leaderish to being able to be fair within weeks of each other. So, look, I don't want to back Benedetta at the moment at that price, but I might have something on the weekend. I found Climbing Star, which was something I found off the videos. I just thought its win last start was super impressive. It ran off a hot tempo and ran away with arrogance, I thought. Yeah. If it brings that form, it gets the perfect map, sits about probably fifth or something and gets the perfect run in a genuinely run race. So Climbing Star for me, top pick. I'll have something maybe Benedetta race day if it gets out to the right price.
Very good. We're moving to Bendigo. Golden Mile Day, Bendigo. Bendigo is one of the great country tracks in Australia. The feature race we've decided to look at is the Bendigo Guineas, a 1,400-metre race, obviously for three-year-olds. Listed, let's go.
You've been to Bendigo?
Many times.
Ooh, I've never been to Bendigo.
I've been to pretty much every country racetrack in Victoria, provincial country metropolitan racetrack in Victoria. That's why I know.
Great to have on your resume.
I know a lot of people down there. Yeah.
It's great to have on your resume. This is remarkable. I'm against another favourite. Very, very, very surprising. But Roll On High, I think, is too short. Another get back horse, $3.10 at the moment. My bet in the race is number 12, War Machine, which is absolutely flying, having one of his last two, the Machine. $4.80 at the moment, I think is good odds. I'm going to save on number one, Sunshine In My Pocket, who's won three from three. I'm really surprised. I don't have much between Roll On High and War Machine, and the market isn't reflecting that at the moment. Fizz?
I've got Roll On High, absolute moral.
Yeah.
but I can see why it's come out that way. It's just run in much better races than this. Its last three, went against the older horses last start. Wasn't disgraced. Ran fourth. But like King said, it gets back in the run, which is scary. I don't know what the track's going to do in Bendigo this week. When they have these one-out meetings, I can't recall what it did last year. It is a get-back horse and will probably get out and drift in the market, I'd say.
I just didn't think it had done enough. It has got the class rating
just
there,
back
but
to
I just
its,
didn't think it had done enough.
Back to its own age, I think, might be a bit of a key for it. Mm. Its ratings have been better than the other horses of the last three that I've seen, but that doesn't always equate to it winning this race. So
fair enough.
Cool. Yeah.
That's feature races done. Gee, we're humming along today.
Hum.
Fizz, I'm going to stick with you. Your Saturday set, please.
Can I have a winner, please? No, I don't care if they have
everyone.
A
everyone wants you to.
They
everyone
can all cheer you on. Let's go, Fizz.
Mate, you're the Mitch Marsh of the Australian hunting landscape.
They can all drift for crying out loud for all I care. They half their quote and lose. So we're going to start in Ascot. We're going for a horse I tipped last start. Race 5, number 9, On Patrol. I think you're going to see about $7 or something, this horse. Pretty stiff last start. Never got a run. Was bolting. I think this time in, it'll sit in the right spot. Won't get caught on the fence and give us a shake down the centre of the track. We're going to Bendigo, race 3, number 15, Manziere. Horse I was on at Sandown last start. Was very impressive. Came down the centre of the track. Ran second. Just missed. I think this time in it'll get a bit of cover, maybe three wide with cover or even in the running line and storm down the centre and hopefully get us the cash. Going to Morfordville race 6, number 1, a horse that's airborne, Air Assault. Just does nothing wrong, goes to the front, steps up to 1,800, which it'll handle. It'll give us a great sight in front. I think it'll be too good at the set weights. And then race 5, number 11, a horse called Jolly Star. First up for Waller, trialled enormous. I thought its trial was really good, set for this 1,200 assignment first up, getting about 850, so pretty keen to play with it this weekend.
I think you got to back a few.
Well,
I have confidence. So I've got one official Saturday set tip so far, and that's Via Sistina, Randwick Race 8, the favourite in that, which I've talked about. Let's stay at Randwick. Race, so I've got three more. Randwick Race 8, Race 3, number 8, Territory Express, which is unlucky second in the Ajax 2 weeks ago behind the horse I backed last week, Democracy Manifest. It's gone to complete new level this campaign, and there's going to be a lot of pace up front, settle midfield and be charging down the middle. Now, we didn't talk about this race before, but I've got a in the two-year-olds, I've got Randwick Race 4, number 5, Aniza. So the favourite in this race is Lady of Camelot, obviously the Golden Slipper winner. So in the slipper, Lady of Camelot drew barrier 5. Now she's drawn 13. Aniza drew 14. Now Aniza's drawn 6. Mm-hmm. Aniza ran a cracking race in the slipper. I don't know how far Aniza was beaten by, maybe a couple of lengths. It wasn't that far. I think Aniza can turn the tables. I don't think there's that much between the horses. One's 240 and one's 550. I think 550 is a really, really good price, and I am all over Aniza.
I'm with you.
Shades of Manal last week.
Yeah, yes. I like it as well. I didn't like Lady of Camelot.
Yeah, well, the Golden Slipper as well. We know it's the grand final of the two-year-olds, but it's proving from last week also to be a very extremely good form race. Then we're going out wide with a bit of a roughie. Morfordville, race 4, number 11, Extremely Rowdy, which is a dual acceptor in both Bendigo and Morfordville. I'm happy to, wherever they decide to run, I'm happy to be on. 4 starts, 2 wins, 2 seconds, first up, looks to have plenty of upside and is a good price. It's about $15 at Morfordville. So those are my 4 official Saturday set tips.
This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Ladbrokes. Join Ladbrokes today and support the show by using the code GALLOP. Take on the fun during the championships with the Ladbrokes app. Load with the best racing features, including bet ticker so you can see where the big bets land, yard comments to give you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring, and black book so you can add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. So take on the fun and Ladbroke it during the championships.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.
The Fizz has been working hard with some of the other boys on a quaddy for the championships. Day 2 at Randwick on Saturday. Here it is up on the screen. You can see all the selections of some cracking horses amongst that lot. You can also see the combos and the costs. So get into it if you wish.
How good's a quaddy on a big day?
You just put it on, you sit back and watch it.
And the last leg, you're coming into the last leg. Check, trying to find the dividends. You can't find them anywhere.
Everyone's always alive in the last leg. You know
it's
going
to be, oh, it's the best when you're alive with one leg.
They were alive last week, but they missed out in the end, unfortunately.
Time to go to the A set. It's a shame we don't have the boys here with us this week. And just in terms of anyone who was at the punt party, Dano couldn't turn up because he got held up by all the rain. There was rivers near him that were rising.
And he was very disappointed.
He was shattered. He really, really wanted to come. So anyway, next time. We did miss you, Dano. Here we go. The A set. Dream Team. Randwick Race 8. Number 8, Via Sistina, looks suited at the 2,000, while I think Jenny would be better back to a mile. I might be having my biggest ever bet in my staking plan. Stay tuned. Dano, Doomben, Race 3, number 7, Disputed River. Unsuited last start when flushed out wide too early in a strongly run staying race. The map and a much more even race here are more suitable. His overall rating profile gives him an edge worth betting. Chris Camilleri, Randwick, Race 10, number 1, Red Card, Inform Mare, looking to make it 3 wins from 3 starts. This preparation has the superior early speed to find the front and get the race run to suit. Let's now go to RI's staking plan. It is up there on the screen. You can pause it if you do actually want to follow it.
Why wouldn't you?
And let's now go to the ROI. What's going on here? All right. So, of course, we're accountable here at the Den. And the King Zone from the clouds. You finally reached profit.
I'm winning a dollar.
It's amazing what
winning a dollar.
It's amazing what one good day can do. The Fizzer, he's just hanging in there.
Just losing.
The A team, the strength, they just chip away. I think they had a couple scratchings last week, so they were pretty inactive. But there it is. RI, the RI staking plan was huge last week. You guys tried to give me advice. How about you just stay out of it? I know what I'm doing, okay?
You took the advice. That's the best thing. Manal, straight down the middle. So we'll see what happens this week. I'm going to shut my mouth this week and leave it to you.
I wasn't in here for the little staking plan segment, but I think something funny happened during the staking plan, RI, didn't it?
I don't know, mate.
Do you want us to play it?
Yeah, go on. Show us what happened, please.
What did happen? An RI is really lagging behind, but I'm very confident this weekend. I'm going to do some pretty aggressive staking and really blast my way out.
What do you mean you're doing aggressive staking?
Gamble responsibly?
Gamble responsibly. Oh, I'm just going to, like, for example, Stormboy, that might be a 3-unit play.
Wow.
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 Don't forget Manal down the bottom.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'll work it out. I'll work it out. You just worry about your stuff, mate. Mm. So,
Come on, Manal!
Very good. So
there it is.
Luckily,
yeah,
I couldn't remember when Manal ran if I'd included it or not, but obviously I did.
So, yeah, you did.
Yeah, which is great. Let's get rolling. So we've spoken quite a lot about the punt party.
Mm-hmm.
Good
to see so many members out there and meet so many different people who I hadn't met as well. Everyone had a cracking time. I want to get out there again. Mm. I wish there was another one on this Saturday.
Yeah, I think that the one might be opening up in Sydney CBD, so that might be the next one. And obviously we want to get around Australia and do it in other states as well. So it was a great first up run. Just on AI. AI is free for members on Saturday.
It is, yeah, free for members again. We had a fill up last Saturday. Let's hope we have a fill up again this Saturday. So members, get on board. And
yeah, so if you're a bronze member or better of AI, you get access to all of AI on Saturday.
Yep. 12 meetings, however many, 14, whatever there are. They're all available.
You guys want to talk about the golf?
Go to the Masters.
The Masters.
Oh, US Masters.
We're having a bit of a chat about the golf. It is great. I'm not a huge golf fan, but I do love on a Monday morning just kicking back watching the final round.
I've got four players that are all good prices. I got Matsuyama's about $21, Jordan Spieth $26, Ludvig Åberg, who's about $34, and Wyndham Clark $41. I'm going to level stake all four of them. I'm going to sit back, relax, and really enjoy my Masters. I could save on the favourite. Just a little bit short at the moment, Scotty. But we'll see. You're a golf man, Fizzer. What do you think of my picks?
Well, look, Scheffler, if he putts well, probably just wins. He's just very, very good. Mm-hmm. Just really hard to beat at the moment.
But value at $6?
So, yeah, $6 bet fair, but shorter with the bookies, I think. Value probably because you'll trade him less during the run. So, yes, I think he is value because I think at some stage he's going to be in the top five and they'll be trading shorter on Betfair. So if you're a trader, I think it's a good trading proposition. I thought that the forgotten man Rahm, he's gone to the Live Tour and people sort of forgotten about him. He did win it last year. He's a fair freak. I don't really have any problem with him at 1450. I thought Joaquin Neiman, he's coming from the Live Tour as well. He's been on fire over there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was a good rough show at $32. I thought Koepka never runs a bad race at $26. And I'd lay Rory if I was going to lay anyone in the market.
And back or lay Tiger Woods at $2 to make the cut?
Lay.
You don't think he'll make it?
I don't think he'll make the cut.
Fair enough.
What would you do?
Never discount a champion. I'd back him.
Okay. What time do you wake up on Monday morning to watch the
final? I'll keep waking up at 5 a.m. at the moment, so I don't want to. I just keep waking up.
All right. Well, it's probably good on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Fizzer, what time will you be up?
About 4:30 Monday morning. I'm going to go to the golf course and we'll watch it there, the last round, and then we play around and pretend we're like one of the good golfers.
Couple of beers?
Brekkie beers?
Yeah.
Bloody Mary, maybe? Maybe around the course, but no, won't be lining up the beers at 5 a.m.
So the winner each year of the Masters gets to choose what the celebration dinner is the year after.
Yes.
What food would you choose?
Chicken nuggets and chips.
Yeah?
No, just joking, mate. Who knows? They've got some fancy menus over there. I'd leave it up to the great chefs to come up with some beautiful piece of meat and say, please do something
I'll move on
fancy.
To Kings. You're not giving
be better than me.
There's only one hope. Chicken, rice and gravy smothered over the whole lot of it. Roast chicken, at least half. Rice, just boiled plain boiled rice. Yeah, absolutely.
That's odd.
And gravy smothered all over the top. There's only ever one hope. I used to have it at birthday when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's the same meal every time.
Do you think the other players would love that? for the champions.
I've got the green jacket on.
Fair enough.
All right, buy our merch. Wolfdenstore.win. It's getting cold. You need hoodies like this.
Are they coming in the merch store?
Yeah, they are. We've got it.
They're not taking this off until...
We need to get them in the merch store so people can buy them. So I'll get that done.
I haven't taken it off all week.
We've got a few sent from China for the party, and we need to get a whole lot more so people can buy them. But they're great. Everyone loves them. They were a huge hit of the English sales. I was out at the English sales last week, put together some really great content about the Winx filly in particular, and I'm going to roll it at the end of this Saturday set. So if you do want to watch it,
you know what I loved about that is the end bit where which goes for about, I don't know, five, six, 7 minutes, how emotional Debbie was when she purchased the filly.
Yeah.
It's just so good to see how much it meant to her as well. And just the emotion in that was just amazing.
It's incredible content. So go and watch it. There's just so much going on. The Saturday session. It's the last Saturday session for a little while.
Okay.
It will be our best Saturday session. Suspect is more than likely racing out at Randwick. That's the horse that I'm a co-owner in. So we'll probably toodaloo out to Randwick, have a bit of a look around there, come back to the den and put together the best Saturday session we've ever made.
What price is Suspect?
About 80 to 1.
Okay.
Probably if it actually does get a run, which it looks like it'll probably start 200s.
Unless you got a runner.
We're just going to go and have a great day. It's what ownership's all about. We're going to have a runner on Sydney Cup Day, Queen Elizabeth Stakes Day. Cannot wait. I think that's sort of it.
It's about it.
Yeah. Over and out. See you soon.
Back a winner.
Second giving chase. Now Happy Clapper and Winx is rounding them up, coming right around the field. Kluger takes an inside run. She's gone for home already, Winx. She beats off Hartnell. Kluger going up the inside. Happy Clapper can't go on. Winx is two lengths clear. Kluger sticks on. Then came Hartnell, but she's well clear, Winx, inside the final 100 metres. Today we farewell an Australian icon, the greatest of all time. Winx wins a third. Queen Elizabeth beats Kluger. Hartnell third, Happy Clapper fourth. Then Shillelagh, Mask of Time. Further back to He's Eminent, not a factor in the race. From Dan's Dan's Dance and Harlem finished tailed off.
Well, where's the Queen herself? She's tired. She's been busy.
Yeah.
We're lucky to have her. The guys are blown away. We've been looking forward to this now for a long time.
A lot of international interest.
Huge. We've had people from all over the world down to the farm. We've had guys from America, Japan, interest from Europe, domestic interest. Every trainer is talking about her. It's amazing, really. So walk for us, Chloe, please.
Why would someone come from overseas to want to buy her? What is
the
it about?
Residual
her?
Value. She's a filly. She's one of the best mares of a generation worldwide, and it's an opportunity to get into that bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd have appeal in every jurisdiction in the world as a broodmare.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even, that's down the line. As a race filly, she'll have that as well.
But mm-hmm.
people are thinking long-term collector's item, and that's basically what she is. Somewhere out there, there'll be a guy that sold his company for a fortune, and he'll be reading about her in Vogue or something like that, and he'll be paying attention. And then I've got all the powerhouses of the game that are interested as well. So that's truly what she is, a collector's item.
Do you think she'll probably go overseas, if you had to guess?
I wouldn't. There's been huge domestic interest, and I don't think anyone that's based here in Australia wants to see her go.
Yeah.
It'll be strong competition, but I don't think she's definitely going to go overseas. I think there's a strong chance she'll stay here.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to see her staying here, I think.
Yeah. And do you think she's going to be up and about for a Golden Slipper or take a bit more time?
I think she will take a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
Mum wasn't a Golden Slipper filly. Dad was. But I think she's the type of filly that will only continue to improve in 6 months' time. And I think you'll see her as a two-year-old, but I think you won't see the best of her until she's a little bit older.
And the record's 5 million for a yearling in Australia. Do you think that might get pushed with her?
We'd like to think that she'd be capable of going close to it.
Yeah.
You don't know until they get into the ring. That's the honest reality. She'll definitely raise a few eyebrows anyway. I know that much.
Will you be nervous before she goes into the ring?
There's always a sigh of relief when the thing is over and they're, but I don't think there'll be any. You won't be nervous. As you can see, she's got a great temperament. She'll take it in her stride. And once she gets to a good home and And she gets there. It's all that matters, really.
Yeah.
Don't need to be nervous. We'd be excited. The lads would be happy. They'd be sad to see her go, though. She's a morale booster in the firm. Everyone that has anything to do with her loves her. We're delighted Mum's back there now and she's safely in foal. And so we'll be on to the next one.
Digging, is the Winx part of your wish list as well? Have you had a look at her?
Yeah, we've had a look at her. She's a nice filly, but probably outside our budget.
Yeah, and so the record for a yearling is $5 million with a half brother to Black Caviar a few years back. Do you think that the Winx filly would be north or south of the $5 million mark?
I'd say probably more.
Wow. Yeah. So let's talk about probably the horse that many think will sell for the most, the Winx filly.
Yes.
Have you, obviously you would have looked at it.
Yes.
I'm sure you agree she's a beautiful type, yep. Like everyone says.
Yep.
Do you think you guys would be active in her as well?
It's not really our play. Yeah. She's obviously a collector's item.
Yeah.
She's going to make, you know, a real premium price, and she should. She's out of a champion, and she's by a Golden Simple winner, and she's raised on a really good farm in Coolmore. So, you know, she's going to make a lot of money, but it's probably not. It's probably not sort of our play. We're probably more. She's a real collector's item,
yeah.
Probably more so than people like us that are I suppose buying horses are living, buying and turning them over and trading. We're probably more. Have to value them in a more commercial manner.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, for a wealthy person, she'd be a very special filly to own.
And do you think she'll go for more or less than the $5 million record for Black Caviar's little brother?
I think she could make more. I mean, it's anyone's guess, but, you know, she's a very rare article, and she's nice. You know, she's very much in the mould of her mother. So, you know, I think she's entitled to sell very, very well, and she should have international appeal as well. I mean, I think there's, you know, by the sounds of it, there's been a lot of interest from Japan, America, and other places. So, yeah, it'll be fascinating to see what she makes. She's, a very rare offering, and I really hope for the whole ownership group, all of which are, I know them well, and they're good people. I hope she sells incredibly well. She's it's hard to breed one like her, and I hope they do really well.
Are you willing to say how much you think the Winx filly will go for?
You just don't know because it's she's such a rarity.
Mm.
She's almost like you're buying a piece of history. It's like buying a piece of art. Like if you've got two or three who really want it, well, where do you stop?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, she might be the one and only filly to be ever available. Well, if you spent X amount of million. And you've been a breeder for 50 years and you go, sort of all chips in for this one. Or you might be, someone who's just relatively new to the game thinking, well, this is just going to put my stud on the map.
Mm.
So there's numerous angles to work on.
Yeah.
But look, they're all well aware that she's for sale. So
yeah,
she'll make her money, that's for sure. But the reality is, I don't think you'll probably ever see her. Horse ever as good as Winx ever again, but hey, if she can be a 33rd as good and win a 25th as good and win one of those group ones, and everyone will be laughing. So look, just buzzed to be a part of it, to be honest. And it'll be interesting to see this place packed out on Monday.
I don't really know what else to say. James,
Winx filly.
I know.
James just said more money for the Winx filly to buy her back.
Oh, look.
She's got to come home, James.
There's enough.
Asking the owners if it's okay if Paddy leads this filly in. He worked with Winx, he foaled this filly, and he brings her into the ring.
Here is lot 391, the bay filly, Piero, out of Winx.
It was there the day the filly was born up there at Coolmore. Nice to have Paddy and nice to have the filly with us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the filly by Piero from our idol in Winx. She's taken it all in, as rightly she should, as her mother did on so many occasions. 25 Group 1 wins, 37 races. Ladies and gentlemen, we also would like to note the mare was four times the horse of the year. Do I have an opening bidder offer? Is there $3 million a starter? $2 million, thank you. I'm bid $2 million, I'll take 500 on her. I'm bid $2 million. 2.5, 2.5 million, 3 million, 3 million in front. I'm bid 3 million, you're out on the left. At $3 million now, 3.5 million. Thank you very much, I've got 5 million, 5.5, 5.5 million, 6 million. I got 6 million with Liam. At $6 million, at $6 million, the daughter of our legendary Winx, at 6 million, at 6 million. 7.5 million I have, 7.5 million. At 7.5 million, 8 million, 8 million here. I'm bid 8 million, 8 million. I've got it down low at $8 million. $8 million, $8 million. What do you say, Harry? 9 million, 9 million, 9 million, 10 million, 10 million here. I'm bid 10 million. I've got it with Liam Griffiths at $10 million, at $10 million. I'm bid 10 million. I'll give your client a chance, Harry, at 10 million. It's worth a bit of consideration. At 10 million, at 10 million. These opportunities do not come along very often. Once in a lifetime, at $10 million, at 10 million. I'll give you 500 to spend. How's that, Harry? At 10 million, at 10 million, at $10 million, at $10 million. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the hammer comes up at $10 million for the daughter of Winx. Is there any more, any further bids? Please, a requirement, just hold the applause. They're young, unbroken horses, $10 million. But I'm going to sell them, make no mistake, at $10 million. Take 500 more at $10 million. Last chance. Done. Godspeed. Hold your applause, please. Hold your applause. We will follow her with great interest. Godspeed, young lady. She'll make her own story. Thank you, Patty. We'll get... Whoppet Bloodstock, thank you very much, Buys, for $10 million. The filly stays in Australia. Thank you very much for the competition. Great to have you all here.
I think we have a little bit of an idea of the pressure that Chris was under with Winx. But fair play to Paddy Sheehan. He led her through, all the staff on the farm, and they've done a great job. And it's coming out in the Netflix series, what we went through with this mare. And like, she is lucky to be alive and probably to have a foal on the ground. You know, it was 100-1 and we're here today. And I couldn't be any more delighted that Debbie has bought this filly and the whole family. You know, they're such terrific clients of the farm. You know, they're just lovely people, they're great friends, and yeah, to me this is like winning a Group One. I can't explain Paddy Sheehan. He'd be in tears now. Like when Winx lost the foal, like the mare nearly died.
Yeah.
And Paddy was there every night with that mare in the hospital. So it was really fitting that Paddy let that horse through today. And I'm delighted that the partners agreed to that. They were delighted that he did. And listen, it's a great credit to everybody at the farm.
We're very proud of her, and we would proudly allow her to go to someone else for them to have that wonderful journey we've had. And it just came a real realization that no, I we couldn't just be a part of it. We had to be with her. We had to make sure we looked after her.
Who was the one that started that conversation?
Oh, me.
Was it you?
Oh, God, yes.
Came down from breakfast one morning. I've got an idea, guys.
No, no. At one of our weekly meetings, our business, our staff meetings on a Wednesday morning, they all arrived and I said, well, we're buying her.
And what did they say?
Go for it, Mum.
Good. Good.
600 metres to go in the Cox Plate. Rostropovich just in front of D'Argento Ben Battle. Now Bowman gets moving on Winx. She's only a length and a half to 2 lengths off the lead, followed by Savvy Cope. Rostropovich just in front of D'Argento, but here she comes, and the valley roars. Winx on the outside moves up, takes the lead from Ben Battle, then Rostropovich and D'Argento into the straight at the 200 metres. It's Winx in front by a length. Ben Battle's going with her. Wicks three corners, Ben Battle. Wicks is staving off Ben Battle. Cometh the hour, cometh the legend. Greatness, Wicks has done it. It's Equo Utopia. Two legs to Ben Battle, Humidor, then a gap to Avilius. Behind those horses, then Rostropovich.